Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is a Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, March 11th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
stocks in Asia and Europe climb with crude oil.
Shares of Boeing tumble after the second crash of its 737 MAX jet.
Jerome Powell preaches patience again, saying the Fed's in no hurry to move.
And Wall Street awaits retail sales data for January.
President Trump's budget will request $8.6 billion of new funding for a border wall, plus eight Americans are among those killed in the crash of an Ethiopian Airlines jet. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports on the loss for the Knicks at Minnesota, Iona, and Monmouth. Semifinal winners at the MAC tourney. They'll play tonight for the championship.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by SEI. Today's competitive marketplace requires asset managers to become more operationally adept. See how you can transform your business with SEI's global platform at seic.com/IMS.
Stocks across Europe and Asia are gaining as equity markets look to shake off the worst week of the year. Meanwhile, Dow futures are lower as Boeing weighs. It is currently 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, Dow futures are down 155 points, while S&P futures are higher, up 3. NASDAQ futures are up 16. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. So is the CAC in Paris, and the FTSE 100 is up 1.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.64%. Yield on the 2-year 2.47%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 56 cents to $56.63 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $3 to $12.96.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.12.50. The yen, 111.22. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest on the crash of Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302. All 157 people on board died when the Boeing 737 MAX 8 jet crashed minutes after takeoff from Ethiopia. Bloomberg aviation reporter Alan Levin has the latest on what we know.
The details are still very sketchy. The plane took off Sunday morning, began behaving what I think is fair to call erratically. It was sort of bouncing up and down a little bit. It twice descended. That's very unusual. One of the pilots reported, in fact, that they had a problem, and they asked to return to the airport. We have some flight tracking information for the beginning of the flight, but not the last few minutes, so it's kind of hard to know if those problems persisted and exactly what led to it crashing at a very high rate of speed into the ground.
Now, for Boeing, this latest disaster is drawing comparisons to the Lion Air crash in Indonesia last year that killed 189 people. It involved the same make and model jet.
In response, Ethiopian Airlines is halting its 737 MAX 8 fleet until further notice, and China is ordering carriers to ground all 96 of their aircraft. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel reports from Hong Kong.
It is a temporary order. They will not allow the planes to fly until they are proven to be airworthy and safe. These Boeings, they are built in one factory just southeast of Seattle, and it's a big part of their business, poised to generate about $30 billion in annual revenue. They were upping the production to 57 per month this year. Qatar has 5 orders, 5 delivered, so Qatar Airways is flying 5 of them right now. Fly Dubai, 251 orders for this model. 14 have been delivered. A Kuwait leasing company also, 40 orders. Royal Air Maroc, 1 order, 1 delivery. So they have one. In Turkish Airlines, 75 orders, 7 deliveries.
Shares of Boeing are under pressure this morning, down 9% in early trading.
All right, turning to broader market news now. There's more optimism on U.S.-China trade talks. National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow says the two sides are making progress.
We made great headway when the Chinese were here 2 weeks ago. In the past week, we've been in communications with them every day by teleconferencing and so forth, working out some of the difficult final points. I think that's where we are in the successful negotiations. I don't want to predict. It's up to the president, not to me. But I think the headway has been good.
Larry Kudlow speaking on Fox News Sunday, as heard here on Bloomberg Radio. China, meanwhile, is striking a somewhat different tone. While Beijing says they have reached consensus on many issues, the head of China's central bank is making pointed comments about respecting the autonomy of each country's monetary policy. Currency stability has reportedly been a key sticking point in talks.
Stocks in Asia today staging a comeback after Friday's big losses. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Leading a recovery amongst Chinese shares was the Chinex index of small cap and tech stocks, which extended its daily gain to 4.4%, taking its rally this year to 38%. A Bloomberg index of airline stocks listed in the Asia Pacific also gained as China ground its fleet of Boeing 737 MAX 8 jets, while in Hong Kong, the city's de facto central bank revealed it had intervened to defend its currency peg for the first time since August. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. Back here in the U.S., Jerome Powell's preaching patience again, saying interest rates can remain on hold for the time being. The Federal Reserve chairman spoke with 60 Minutes on CBS.
Patient means that we don't feel any hurry to change our interest rate policy. What's happened in the last 90 or so days is that we've seen increasing evidence of the global economy slowing down, although our own economy has continued to perform well.
Powell says the Fed will be watching today's retail sales data for signs consumer spending bounced back after a weak end to 2018. That report, delayed by the government shutdown, is due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
Oil gaining this morning following word that Saudi Arabia is extending output cuts into next month. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
And Karen, a Saudi official familiar with the policy tells Bloomberg the country will produce well below 10 million barrels a day in April. Riyadh is determined to regain control of the market as prices remain well below the level many OPEC members need to cover their government spending. Saudi Arabia and other OPEC nations have come under pressure from President Trump, who's urged them to, quote, please relax and take it easy. NYMEX and Brent both up 1% higher this morning. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And we do have this headline crossing the Bloomberg. Indonesia has ordered local airlines to ground the Boeing 737 MAX jets. Again, that just crossing the Bloomberg. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. At least 8 Americans are among the 157 people killed when an Ethiopian Airlines flight crashed yesterday morning. It was on its way from Addis Ababa to Nairobi, Kenya, when it crashed just after takeoff. Kenya Secretary of Transport and Infrastructure James Macharia.
We had the highest number of casualties. The aircraft was destined for Nairobi. We should also be participating in the investigations.
The same type of aircraft crashed last year in Indonesia. President Trump plans to release his budget today that will request at least $8.6 billion in new funding for the construction of a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border. That's on top of the funds that President Trump is hoping to allocate through executive action, Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons reports.
It's the first budget blueprint since Democrats took control of the House, and it's expected to set off a battle about priorities. One contentious point will be whether to lift caps on spending for domestic and defense programs and whether to increase the $22 trillion debt limit. President Trump, in looking for more defense money, will push for using war contingency funds to get around budget limits. And his acting budget director says it'll also seek a 5% decrease in discretionary spending. Democrats and some Republicans see that as a difficult lift. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
A top Republican blasted the Trump administration's potential demand that countries pay the full cost of hosting U.S. troops and then some, saying it's a wrong-headed move that would jeopardize both national security and relationships with allies. Representative Liz Cheney, who heads the House Republican Conference and serves on the Armed Services Committee, said it would be absolutely devastating. Cheney, on NBC's Meet the Press, also slammed last week's House resolution that was changed to omit Minnesota Democrat Ilhan Omar's name after anti-Semitic comments on Twitter from her surfaced.
I think it was really clearly an effort to actually protect Ilhan Omar, to cover up her bigotry and anti-Semitism by refusing to name her. And they've got a real problem.
NBC's Meet the Press can be heard Sundays right here on Bloomberg Radio. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, it is championship week. The big conferences kick off their tournaments later in the week, including the Big East at the Garden. St. John's will play DePaul on Wednesday night. Red Storms slumped down the stretch. They're now on the bubble as far as making the NCAA tourname. Rutgers off to the Big Ten tourney, off an 89-73 loss yesterday at Indiana, a team they beat earlier in the year. The Metro Atlantic has its tourney final tonight in Albany. Iona versus Monmouth. Both won semifinal games last night by near identical scores. The Gales 73-57 over Siena. The Hawks 73-59 over Canisius. Monmouth began the season 0-12. A win tonight, and the Hawks go to the big dance. Last night, the Knicks lost at Minnesota 103-92. So if you're keeping track, David Fizdale's team has now lost six in a row.
The biggest thing was the turnovers. This team, last time we played them, had got us to turn it over 20 times. Tonight we turned it over 19 times for 27 points. I think they had 20-plus fast break points. That turnovers led to that. And those are plays you can't defend. And so we couldn't get our half-court defense set against that. And that ended up biting us.
Damian Dotson led the Knicks with 26. Upset in the NBA, the Warriors lost at home to Phoenix. They had won 18 in a row over the Suns. The Jets have acquired a guard, Kelechi Osemele, from Oakland. They give up a fifth-round draft pick. One of the all-time great Rangers has passed away. Harry Howell was 86. He's the Rangers' all-time leader in games played. A seven-time All-Star defenseman is number three. Hangs from the rafters at the Garden. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, we continue to follow shares of Boeing. They're headed into further losses ahead of the open, down nearly 10% in early trading. Onward, Indonesia's transport ministry has ordered local airlines to temporarily ground 737 MAX jets. Follows a similar move by China following a crash in Ethiopia that killed nearly 200 people over the weekend. Boeing is the most heavily weighted component of the Dow 30. Dow futures are down 178 points right now. S&P futures are up 2.5. NASDAQ futures up 17 points. This is Daybreak. Coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high return income producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Renaissance Capital, issuer of IPO ETFs and pre-IPO research, putting newly public companies to work in investor portfolios. To learn more, visit renaissancecapital.com. Dow futures are falling this morning following the crash of Boeing 737 MAX 8 operated by Ethiopian Airlines. And Boeing is down this morning more than 9.5%. We'll have more on Boeing in just a moment. While Dow futures are down 175 points. S&P futures are up 2. NASDAQ futures up 16. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.64%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, 8 of the 157 people killed in yesterday's Ethiopian Airlines crash were Americans. People from 35 countries were killed. President Trump is expected today to release his budget that will request at least $8.6 billion in new funding for the construction of a border wall. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Warriors. In the NHL, the Capitals won, the Bruins lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street. Hammered live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get you set up for the trading day. And the week ahead now, joining us in New York is John McCory. And for Bloomberg News in Beijing, we're pleased to have Managing Editor Emma O'Brien. And in London, we're joined by Top Editor Sarah Marley. John, let's start with you. The second deadly crash of a Boeing 737 MAX in 5 months. How important is this plane to the company's future?
Very important, John. And, of course, with a story like this, you always start with the human tragedy. 157 people have lost their lives, as Michael just reported. The focus is on Boeing 737 8 MAX, and it's the second deadly crash, as you point out. The stock is down almost 9% in pre-trading, and the concern, of course, is that this could affect orders going forward for that jet. Right now, the projection is that the company was going to make have $30 billion in revenue from that jet this year and ramp up to as many as 57 such jets each month that it would produce this year. And should there be a cancellation of orders, this is going to dramatically affect Boeing.
Emma, there are immediate reactions to this crash. What are they?
China and Indonesia have come out saying that they're grounding the MAX plane, which is a big blow for Boeing. They may not have expected such a swift reaction, particularly from such a significant market as China. It's a potentially huge money spinner for Boeing. Airbus and Boeing are locked in a real fight to win orders here, with the Chinese travel market tipped to be the world's largest in about a decade. So this does come as a real blow with this grounding of these planes. We're unsure how long it will last for, and it covers all the Chinese airlines, including the big three, Air China, China Eastern, and China Southern, which own or run at least 13 of these planes each. Indonesia, of course, that's where the first MAX 8 crash happened, so probably not hugely surprising that they've grounded them as well, but their fleets do own and have a lot on order of these MAX 8s.
All right, Sarah, next to you, our other story, a gloomy assessment. What else? Brexit.
Exactly. Brexit, we have 18 days to go and no closer to any deal between the UK and the EU that the House of Commons will accept. So we're primed for another vote in Parliament tomorrow evening, London time, on May's deal. But since nothing has changed since January, it's expected to be defeated just as badly again.
Okay, John, let's pick it up with you. How long is a pause? The Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, on 60 Minutes last night.
That's a good question, John. It certainly is for the foreseeable future this year. It could, you know, it's possible that there could be a rate hike late in 2019. But what I was struck by in the interview was that the Fed chairman was obviously looking at the global economy and that what he saw is a slowdown in China and Europe. And he even mentioned Brexit as something that could affect the global economy. And, of course, he's right there. So even though the U.S. Economy remains solid, as he said, the Fed clearly is on pause for a while now in that they're going to keep the overnight lending rate at the 2.25 to 2.5 range.
All right, Emma, back to you in Beijing. News about Tesla this morning, and guess what? It's not an Elon Musk tweet.
That's right. Tesla is said to be in talks with the Chinese battery giant CATL about supplying their factory that they're building close to Shanghai. There's been a lot of speculation about who would get this prize of supplying Tesla with batteries for the Model 3s they plan to produce out of this factory, which is, as I said, still in construction. It looks like CATL may be up there, which is significant because Tesla has relied heavily on Japan's Panasonic for its batteries thus far. But Tesla has taken a lot of Chinese help. When it comes to this factory, China has made a big show of supporting Tesla and its plans to set up manufacturing on the ground. So this may be, if the deal does go through, part of that, choosing a local battery supplier.
Sarah, back to you in London. If OPEC lost control of the oil market, they're trying to get back in the driver's seat, right?
Yes, Saudi Arabia is very much trying to grab hold of the oil price, and we've seen a Brent futures up about 1.3% this morning on news that Saudi Arabia is going to further cut its supply. They agreed last year with OPEC that they would pump no more than 10.3 million barrels a day. They're coming in well below that, at well below 10 even, and maybe not even filling orders for 7 million barrels. So we've definitely seen some action from Saudi Arabia.
And finally, John, back to you here in New York. President Trump releasing a budget blueprint today. It's not even close to being balanced, is it?
No, it's not. He broke with Republican orthodoxy and said that he doesn't expect a balanced budget for 15 years. Typically, Republicans would try and balance the budget within 10 years. As we know, most budgets aren't balanced in the U.S. anyway. The proposed budget is basically a political document. The other big headline outside of balance is he wants $8 billion more for a border wall with Mexico. With the Democrats in control of the House, that is not likely to get passed.
Dead on arrival, can we say?
I think DOA is appropriate.
John McCrory, managing editor here in New York. Emma O'Brien and Sarah Marley. Thanks to everybody. Right now, we have the Dow futures. Remember, Boeing is the biggest component there. Right now, down 167 points. The Dow futures, S&P futures, are up 3. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing a mixed picture in the U.S. futures markets. S&P 500 and NASDAQ mini futures are a little changed, but Dow futures are down 163 points.
And that decline in the Dow is being led by Boeing. The plane maker suffered a second deadly crash involving the newest version of its best-selling 737 jet. That's prompting Ethiopian Airlines plus the governments of China and now Indonesia to ground all flights of the aircraft. More from Bloomberg's Stephen Engel in Hong Kong.
20% of 737 MAX's worldwide deliveries through January have been to Chinese carriers. They're a big order of this aircraft. Boeing is the largest U.S. exporter, and in aerospace, the United States has a major surplus, of course, with major trading partners, including China. It could be a significant blow to Boeing if this is a domino effect.
And that has shares of Boeing down almost 9% in early trading.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says interest rates can remain on hold for the time being as the U.S. economy remains solid.
Last year was the highest growth that we've experienced since the financial crisis, really in more than 10 years. This year, I expect that growth will continue to be positive and continue to be at a healthy rate.
Powell, speaking to 60 Minutes on CBS, says the Fed will be watching today's retail sales data for signs consumer spending bounced back after a weak end to 2018. The report is set for 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has a preview.
The prior report showed U.S. retailers finished 2018 with a battering. In December, retail sales dropped by the most in 9 months. The outlook for 2019 could brighten if a rebound in consumer confidence is sustained. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinnie, thank you. The pound is weakening for an eighth straight day as reports circulate that Theresa May is losing support for her Brexit vote. The prime minister's government says talks with the EU are deadlocked.
And oil's gaining after sources told Bloomberg Saudi Arabia will supply its clients with significantly less oil than requested in April. The latest sign Riyadh is determined to regain control of the oil market. Checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate's up 0.9% or 52 cents at $56.59 a barrel. Brent is up 59 cents. It's trading at $66.33.
Again, as we said, Dow futures are lower, down 158 points right now. S&P futures higher, up 3.5. NASDAQ futures up 19. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Take every journey to the next level during the Own the Adventure sales event now through April 1st. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Investigators are trying to find out what went wrong after an Ethiopian Airlines jet heading from Addis Ababa to Kenya crashed after takeoff yesterday. All 157 people on board were killed, including 8 Americans. The crash is strikingly similar to one in Indonesia last year. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says other countries need to adopt strict guidelines for the air industry.
Our record of safety here in America is great. Unfortunately, most countries in Ethiopia does not have the same safety standards. and this results in these kind of tragedies.
Right after takeoff, the Ethiopian pilots radioed they were having trouble controlling the aircraft and said they would like to return. President Trump will request at least $8.6 billion in new funding for the construction of a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border as part of his budget to be released today. National Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow told Fox News Sunday the crisis at the border has the White House prioritizing its spending.
I think it's long overdue. Some of these recent budget deals have not been favorable towards spending. So I think it's exactly the right prescription.
Fox News Sunday can be heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio. Former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont lead the field of prospective and declared 2020 Democratic presidential candidates in an Iowa poll of voters. Biden, who is still trying to decide whether he wants to run, has the support of 27% in the Iowa caucuses. He's closely followed by Sanders at 25%. Were satellite images of activity at a North Korean nuclear site just days before the talks between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un the cause of the collapse in the Vietnam summit? National Security Advisor John Bolton on ABC's This Week says the U.S. is watching North Korea constantly since they have a track record with past administrations of not coming through.
They have committed to denuclearization in a variety of forms several times in writing, solemn international agreements that they have happily violated.
By the way, ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays also on Bloomberg Radio. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, in 6 days, we'll learn the full 68-team field in the NCAA basketball tournament. St. John's and Seton Hall are both said to be on the NCAA bubble as they go to the Big East tourney at the Garden. The Red Storm will play Wednesday night against DePaul, who they've already lost to twice. Hofstra hoping to go to the Big Dance. The Pride, 26-6, won its quarterfinal game in the Colonial tourney yesterday. The semifinals are tonight, and the championship game in the Metro Atlantic is tonight in Albany. It's Iona versus Monmouth. NBA saw the Knicks lose a sixth game in a row, 103-92 at Minnesota. Turnovers did in Coach David Fizdale's team.
Yeah, well, tonight the game plan, we watched every turnover from the last time we played them. And so we understand that this is what this team does. They get a lot of steals, a lot of deflections. Interior passes kill you. You know, they steal those passes. And for whatever reason, we kept burning our hand on the stove trying to make those passes. And 19 turnovers was the result.
Upset last night. Phoenix beat Golden State, who had beaten the Suns 18 straight times. A couple more weeks of spring training. Yankees in Tampa topped the Pirates 6-5, but Jay Happ gave up a couple of home runs. He's got a 7.5 ERA this spring. In Port St. Lucie, strong outing for the Met lefty, Steven Matz. 4 scoreless innings, a 9-1 rout of the Cardinals. Met homers by Travis d'Arnaud, Jeff McNeil, and Ahmed Rosario. Adam Jones, longtime Orioles outfielder, has finally found a job. He signed with Arizona. The Giants traded for a starting guard last week. They got Kevin Zeitler from Cleveland. Now there's a new Jet guard. The Jets dealt the fifth-round draft pick to Oakland for Kelechi Osemele, who was a Pro Bowler in 2016 and 17. He was injured much of last season. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Evidently, President Trump is still toying with the idea of imposing steep tariffs on cars and automotive parts. In a White House brimming with bad economic ideas, this would be the worst one yet. Trump has mused about imposing duties of 25% to induce the EU to make trade concessions. But a tariff of that size would be a tax increase of perhaps $80 billion on the U.S. economy. It would sharply increase prices, reduce growth, impede investment, cost American jobs, infuriate allies, invite painful retaliation, and undermine the system of global trade. Maybe the worst part of the scheme is that its rationale is brazenly false. The claim that imported cars and parts pose a national security threat is absurd. Congress should reassert its constitutional authority over tariffs and bring this nonsense to a stop. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
A great adventure is getting underway on the front lines of climate change.
The next great journey of human endeavor.
Far out in the Indian Ocean off the Seychelles.
It is time we went beneath the waves.
The goal of the UK-led expedition is to map a vast stretch of sea down to depths of 3,000 meters, almost 2 miles, to discover what impact rising water temperatures are having on marine life and measure pollution within a fragile ecosystem that 2.5 billion people along the ocean rim rely upon. The Associated Press is working with the British scientists to cover the mission off the Seychelles, 115 islands at the mercy of climate change. The archipelago relies on fishing and tourism for its economy, but with rising water temperatures already bleaching its coral reefs, officials fear the future. That's why the Seychelles United Nations Ambassador, René Journeau, tells the AP this seven-week mission is so critical.
We know less about the oceans than we know about the surface of the moon. The oceans are now like the last frontier.
That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. 6:39 on Wall Street. This week we get a smattering of earnings after a losing week for stocks. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
Stocks were down every single day last week, and it was the worst week of the year. But lots of earnings this coming week. Dan Skelly is head of Equity Model Portfolio Solutions at Morgan Stanley.
Earnings are looking flattish for 19. So maybe if we get some of the cyclical components of the economy working better in the second half, that drives a rebound in earnings.
Lots of earnings reports this week, including Dick's Sporting Goods, the data center builder, Switch, ADT, Prudential, Adidas, Adobe, and Broadcom. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And this morning, the company weighing the most on Dow futures is Boeing. Its shares down nearly 9% in early trading, with pressure building after China and Indonesia decided to ground flights of the U.S. plane maker's 737 MAX 8 jet. S&P futures are up 2 points. NASDAQ futures up nearly 15. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And coming up, Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Columbia Bank. Yield Plus Checking from Columbia Bank takes the stable growth of a high-rate CD and combines it with the freedom of a checking account. Visit a branch today or ColumbiaBankOnline.com. Count on Columbia.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and Dow futures lower this morning, dragged down by Boeing, while S&P futures are a little changed. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are mixed right now as Boeing falls 9% in the pre-market. Dow futures are down 173 points. Note that Boeing represents 11% of the index. S&P futures are higher by 2, and NASDAQ futures gained by 13. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.65%. Oil is trading higher, and Shanghai rebounded 1.9% overnight, while European markets are posting gains, led by a 1% rise in the U.K. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, retail sales, and at 10 o'clock, business inventories. On the IPO front, Levi Strauss files for an IPO of 36.7 million shares at 14 to 16 each. And in other news, China and Indonesia have grounded the 737 MAX flights after the Ethiopian Airlines crash. In deal news, NVIDIA said near a deal for Israeli data center Mellanox. And wrapping things up, Apple was upgraded by a Bank of America, price target 210. JetBlue is downgraded to equal weight at Barclays. FireEye upgraded to overweight at JP Morgan. And Facebook upgraded to buy over at Nomura Instinet. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen.
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Ethiopia's state-affiliated Fana Broadcasting Corporate reports that the black box has been found from the crashed Ethiopian Airlines plane. An airline official, however, tells the Associated Press that the box is partially damaged and that we will see what we can retrieve from it. All 157 people on board were killed. 8 of the victims were Americans. President Donald Trump's new budget is returning to an old fight over spending on a border wall with Mexico. The president wants $8.6 billion of new funding for the wall. The president's proposal, set for release today, also seeks to increase spending for the military, but cut back sharply on money for domestic programs. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Warriors. In the NHL, the Capitals won. The Bruins lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. The White House delivers its fiscal 2020 budget proposal to Congress later today. It's expected to call for 5% across-the-board domestic spending cuts while not balancing for another 15 years. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow tells Fox News Sunday that shouldn't be a problem with an economy growing at 3%.
I don't think good growth policies have to obsess necessarily about the budget deficits and so forth. Look, Chris, my view, and I believe the view of the administration, we are going to point a steady glide path towards lower federal spending and federal borrowing as a share of the economy, as a share of GDP.
On ABC's This Week, National Security Advisor John Bolton addressed satellite images taken during the Hanoi summit that appear to show North Korea rebuilding a missile launch site.
There's a lot of activity all the time in North Korea, but I'm not going to speculate on what that particular commercial satellite picture shows.
There have also been reports Special Counsel Robert Mueller is close to submitting his final report on Russian election meddling to the Justice Department. That wouldn't give him much time to call President Trump before a grand jury. House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff tells NBC's Meet the Press that would be a mistake.
Probably the best way to get the truth would be to put the president under oath, because as he's made plain in the past, he feels it's perfectly fine to lie to the public. After all, he has said, it's not like I'm talking before a magistrate. Well, maybe he should talk before a magistrate.
And former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort could get more prison time this week when he's sentenced for conspiracy in Washington. Republican Senator John Kennedy tells CBS Face the Nation he was surprised at the less than four-year sentence Manafort received in Virginia on financial fraud.
Mr. Manafort is a grifter. He used to be a partner with Roger Stone. He's just a sleazoid.
And that is just some of the conversation from the political talk shows you hear every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio, starting with NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Fox News Sunday at noon, ABC's This Week at 1 p.m., and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me for more. Let's start with the budget coming out in just a couple hours from the White House to Capitol Hill. We mentioned the deep cuts it's expected to call for. It also is expected to ask for $8.6 billion for a border wall. We're setting up for a familiar fight.
Exactly. It's feeling a bit like deja vu all over again with this border wall fight. The president obviously capitulated to Democrats back in February to get the government reopened under a lot of pressure from, you know, some of the impact that was starting to be felt both in, among the federal workforce and in the broader economy. And now what we're seeing is a likelihood that that could that fight could reemerge as they debate the 2020 budget and the 2020 spending bills, because Trump, even though he's saying he's going to use his executive authority to fund a border wall, he's once again asking for money from Congress.
And this time, I would imagine the fight could go on for months, because the next government shutdown deadline isn't until the fall.
That's right. And so I think that, you know, this likely sets up another September 30th showdown over this. And, you know, I would imagine both sides would dig in until then. I don't see Democrats necessarily changing their position, obviously. And I don't see Trump changing his position. I think part of what we're seeing happening here is, as we're heading into 2020, both sides think they have an argument that wins with their base. And so that's why we're likely to not see a whole lot of movement, but probably see this continue to be in the headlines.
But given that, though, I mean, generally, White House budgets land with a thud on Capitol Hill. They tend to be ignored, right?
That's right. And so I think what we're seeing, though, is that it's Trump essentially laying down a marker. It's not that there's no real expectation that Congress, particularly the House, which is democratically controlled, would take up the president's budget and use it as a basis for crafting their own budget resolution. That's unlikely to happen. That didn't even happen, you know, when Congress was in all of the control of Republicans. So it's certainly not happening now that we have divided government. But what it is, why it is significant, is that it's laying down a marker for the future when this issue comes to a head potentially at the end of September, and it could be a signal that Trump once again might threaten to veto any legislation that doesn't include funding for his wall.
And it also lays a marker down as far as spending overall, because I remember last year's budget where the president's budget called for pretty dramatic domestic spending cuts. And now it looks like he's trying to impose that again.
Exactly. He's doubling down and even going deeper in terms of the domestic spending cuts. And I think Democrats are already pointing out that even though his budget proposal would include deep cuts in domestic spending, it doesn't balance for 15 years. And so I think that that's a concern out there, that it doesn't bring the budget into balance, at least on the Democratic side. And I wonder how much traction that concern will get with fiscal conservatives in the Republican Party as well. And so that's one of the many reasons why, again, this budget is likely to be DOA on Capitol Hill.
Is it a surprise that the White House is kind of playing down that concern, you know, given the history in Republican politics of really hammering against the idea of deficit spending?
It's surprising in those terms, you know, in that Trump is not in keeping with that sort of Republican philosophy. But it's not surprising if we look at kind of Trump's background. You know, he's not someone that comes from the sort of fiscally conservative wing of the party. And so, you know, this budget in terms of how it's structured is very similar to what he proposed last year. It's very similar to, you know, what he talked about early on and during the campaign in terms of not, you know, expressing a whole lot of concern about deficit spending. And so I think that in those regards, it's not necessarily surprising, but it's certainly, I think, will give some Republicans pause and, you know, exposes a schism within Republican thinking on fiscal matters, for sure.
And the White House budget proposal is expected to arrive on Capitol Hill a little more than an hour, actually, and stay with Bloomberg Radio for details on what it entails throughout the day. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter with us this morning. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. Small business owners in the U.S. added the most jobs per firm in 45 years, while a measure of hiring plans fell to a 10-month low. This all suggests tight labor markets and wage costs are weighing on efforts to add employees, even as companies boost payrolls. Firms each added 0.52 workers last month. That eclipses the previous record of 0.51 back in 1998. That's according to a report from the National Federation of Independent Business. 22% of owners said difficulty finding qualified workers was their most important business problem, 3 points below the record high. The NFIB said 37% of small business owners reported job openings they just couldn't fill. The NFIB chief economist Bill Dunkelberg says it appears that the shortage of workers will continue to restrain growth on Main Street. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. Some deal news we are watching this morning. Sources tell Bloomberg NVIDIA is nearing an agreement to buy Israeli chipmaker Mellanox Technologies. NVIDIA is currently the leading bidder ahead of rivals that include Intel, and we could get official word of the deal as soon as this morning. Shares of Mellanox are up 11% in early trading. NVIDIA shares, meanwhile, are down more than 2%. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keen and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.